When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi, my cotton candy grapes. Aaron and I are so excited to start releasing Grocery Season 3 to give you a Costco-sized sample of what you're missing behind the paywall. So if you're aching for more, all three seasons that we've recorded of Groceries are available for you right now on our Patreon. That's patreon.com/attitudes. There's hours of content waiting for your listening pleasure. You can enjoy the entire back catalog of Groceries, our Dateline and Columbo recaps, and the limited edition podcast Dolls, where Aaron breaks down the history of the world's most famous dolls. I mean, how would you describe all that? It's impossible. And once we reach our 3,000 subscriber goal, we will be unleashing an entirely new season of Groceries, which we are recording right now. So please, visit www.patreon.com/attitudes today. See you in the aisles.
Eat like an animal. Shark Week calls for something you can really sink your teeth into. We've added a few delicious twists to the classic mac and cheese recipe. First, we begin with a generous portion of spiral gemelli pasta. Then stir through a super creamy sauce of white cheddar with applewood smoked bacon. Craving, beware. That'll get your heart racing. Dive even deeper at sharkweek.com if you dare. Found on the back of official frozen meal of Discovery Shark Week.
The entire time you read that, and then we'll welcome everyone, I just wanted to say, I was like, what the fuck does this meal have to do with Shark Week? It is Shark Week themed frozen dinner?
Oh, yeah. Wait, hold on. I'm going to talk about this in my grocery at a later time, but I just want to show you this now. It's just pasta. It's frozen pasta, okay?
Delicious.
But then look at this. Look at this crap.
There's a shark biting into a fork full of a great white shark, a real one, by the way, like not a cartoon, a real one biting into a fork full of pasta. Why would you ever need that many teeth to eat pasta?
The title of the box says Discovery Shark Week Devour, and it's white frozen white cheddar cheese pasta.
Gross.
I literally saw it and was like, I was staring for hours.
For all you deep sea divers and shark cage aficionados, take a frozen meal down there, a frozen pasta meal. And if you feel like you're about to get attacked by a shark, just show them that. They'll stop in their tracks. They'll delicately take the frozen gemelli pasta dish with broccoli and cheddar out of your hand and swim off with it.
You know what they do? They have these shark microwaves that float next to them on a rope.
So cute.
And they take their fin and they open the door, and then they have shortcut buttons because they don't have fingers, you know?
Yeah, true.
So cool.
That's the saddest
part. The sea is cool.
The sea's so cool. Speaking of cool, welcome to Groceries, where we cover it all. The shopping carts, the aisles, the customer service, the products, the shiny floors, the shiny apples, everything.
If it sparkles, we talk about it.
Correct. All right. This week, okay, I have spent...
We're in for a run with you, correct?
It's a run. In fact, this entire season will be East Coast grocery stores for me, specifically grocery stores you can find in New York, ranging from grocery stores on the Upper West Side to grocery stores in Brighton Beach to grocery stores in Little India. I hit them all, honey. And by the way, I could have done about 50 more. That's what's great about living in a place like that.
I know. It really made me miss the East Coast.
For sure. And also, this is also what I want to say to all bozos. If you really want to get to know a neighborhood, go to the fucking grocery store.
That's for sure.
That is where you get to know the people in your neighborhood, overhear the conversations,
find out what the popular items are if you're hosting a millionaire's dinner party. You know what I mean? Like, you can figure it all out.
It's there. The original Avenue Q.
It's the original Avenue Q, except with like real people versus like double puppets? D puppets. Yeah. Sluppets.
Were the humans Sluttets. Characters?
You know what? I'll be honest with you. I never saw it. I think puppets are cute. I don't think they're funny. The only one who I think is funny and really not even funny, because she's an icon, is Miss Piggy. Yeah. There's nobody better.
I think that's Avenue Q I went to once and I ran into everyone I know's parents. I feel like that sums it up. You know what I mean?
Because they wanted to hear a little cursing. That's fun.
It's funny because puppets are cursing.
Yeah, exactly.
Isn't this cute?
So cute.
Paid $150 to see some puppets curse.
I'm sure it's a great show. Everyone says it's great. Did you see it? Like it? I mean,
I remember being like, yeah.
Cool.
I like it. You know, when you have a reaction of like, I did that. That was something I did.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, for this
It wasn't
week,
like the Cher show.
God, no. The Cher show, I was pulling out my hair.
I've never been to a more complicated audience show in my life.
I honestly thought it was the only time I wanted to body surf was on the Cher show on Broadway. I wanted to body surf right over Bryan Cranston and Nia Vardalos, who were there, not to mention Kanye and Kim. I wanted to body surf over them because I was so fucking pumped.
It was, I have to say, when it hit the 90s, And all the gay men in the audience really identified themselves right. by standing up and dancing.
Sure.
You could feel the political polarity of this country come alive.
Absolutely. Because what's so crazy is that deep heart conservatives love Cher too.
Yes.
They love
because
her.
Because of Cher from the 60s.
Right. They're not aware of her tweets. They just remember Cher from the 60s. And that being sort of the safest example of counterculture. You know?
Which it was.
And she was fantastic. Always. Yeah.
She transcends humanity as far as yes. I'm concerned. But that show, that's a show that really stuck in my craw. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I just mean like it has dug its way into the molecular structure of my body. And I do wish we had time to talk more about the Cher Broadway show.
Honest to God, I wish we'd have Cher on to talk about her grocery store habits. I'd love to know what she orders, because I assume she has it delivered. But who knows?
Nobody knows anymore.
No, we got to figure it out. All right, so on the New York Broadway tip, honey, I went to a store on 80th Street and Broadway. Hello? The neon lights? Hello?
Well, they don't go all the way that north, but...
No, they don't. I went to a New York institution, something that has been called the quintessential New York grocery store, a legend, an establishment that defines lox and bagels and New York cuisine, Zabar's. Now, if you don't know Zabar's, you probably know their tote bags or mugs, especially if you live in a big city.
Orange and black, baby.
Because it's a point of pride to... It's almost like having an NPR tote. There is something about having a Zabar's bag that you own that, or a Zabar's mug that says sort of like, I went to New York and I knew where to go. You know what I mean? So let me take you through the history of Zabar's before
that
I go in.
That bag says I'm not fucking around.
Exactly. But I would say that this is an example of when you go to New York, maybe not the first time, but the second or third time, it's sort of a destination in and of itself. Like, it is somewhere you've heard about, read about. It's been in every Nora Ephron movie. You've Got Mail's a huge example of it. There's a big scene in Zabar's. Everyone talks about Zabar's if a movie's set in New York. It's like what someone told me in high school when I said I wanted to go to New York for college. My mom's friend goes, do you have combat boots? And I go, no. And she goes, everyone in New York wears combat boots. That's what I feel like I sound like right now.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah. So Zabar's formed.
Was that true? I guess it was. No. Oh, she's talking about Doc Martens, though. Don't you
How
think?
How could 7 million people wearing combat boots? Like, what is she talking about?
Chelsea and saw one person.
She only saw Rent and then was like, that's New York or something. So.
Well, I feel like if it's one of your mom's friends, they're very prone to extrapolating. A huge story out of one fact.
No doubt about it. We're all, myself included, not strangers to the art of absolute hyperbole. and exaggeration. So it started in 1934 by Louis Zabar and his wife Lillian, who came to the United States through Canada from Ukraine, Soviet Union, in the early 1920s. So these were people.
Whoa.
Who, yes. And Louis Zabar's father, Zabar started in 1934, but his father, who was from Ukraine, was murdered in a pogrom. So these are people, these are Eastern European Jewish immigrants who fled because of atrocities and who tried to make good through Ellis Island, opening of working girl style into the new world and into New York for a safer life and a life where maybe they could prosper more than being pushed to the margins of society and being annihilated. So,
and to just extrapolate what you said though, but they did all of that while wearing sneakers to work and then heels at work.
Exactly. That was the working girl part. Absolutely. So this started as a stall in a farmer's market that Louis opened with his wife, Lillian. And it was a big deal because their whole thing was selling really high quality smoked fish, which, by the way, Zabar's is still their signature thing, is their smoked salmon is still sort of their bread and butter, along with, by the way, their bread, because it's a famous bakery. So it started as a stall called the Deitch Market in Brooklyn, and he wanted his customers to trust him so that they would become regulars. He went to smokehouses all over the place, sampled smoked fish for himself everywhere that he could. He started roasting his own coffee. He hand-selected every item Zabar sold once he opened his store on 80th and Broadway. And not only that, they were the first company in New York, the first grocery store in New York to import the Wig-O-Mat, which I'd never heard of. Would you like to know what a Wig-O-Mat was?
Yeah. I mean, I have thoughts. I have assumptions, but I'm sure they're all wrong.
Me too. I thought it was going to be like the first edible wig because it was a grocery store. Like wear it and eat it.
What if I thought it would maybe like be like, it's like a doormat, but it looks like a wig and it says hair. Come on, hair.
Honestly.
Because that makes sense.
Come on,
you know?
Hair. One time from an STD clinic. We got like tested, Pete Zeiss and I did. And there was like a pamphlet that
you said, guys like, sure know how to be friends.
There was a pamphlet that said like, want safer sex? Instead of coming inside someone, come in their hair. It's like, or come on their body.
Why in their hair? I mean, like, that's a lot of effort.
Come on their hair. And so Pete and I just would always say to each other, and we've never had sexual relations, but we would say, we would pretend to be orgasm and they'd go, no, wait, come in my hair. So hot. So the Wig-O-Mat was not a doormat made out of a wig that said, come in hair.
How about anything that can be washed instantly in the washer?
Yep. The Wig-O-Mat.
Okay, that's not the Wig-O-Mat.
Correct. Was the first shop in the States to sell a Wig-O-Mat. A Wig-O-Mat was the first electric coffee drip machine. It came out of Germany. The Wig-O-Mat was like the first coffee maker.
Why was a person who invented it named Wig?
I don't know. Vig might mean something else in Germany. I'm not sure. Vig-O-Mat. I'm not sure.
Come.
Exactly. So now, Zabar's, all these years later, 70,000 people go in and out of there every single week. It's still family run. It's still independent. It's run by their sons, Stanley and Saul Zabar. They co-own it with a man named Murray Klein, but not a member of the Zabar family. And then, of course,
who's Murray?
I don't. He's just a friend.
How'd Murray get involved in this?
Don't know.
He's not family.
He's not. Excuse me. You're not in the family. And then Eli Zabar is the one who has EAT on the Upper East Side, which is the restaurant along with the markets, and is sort of the baker and, you know, bread maker
candlestick
and all of
maker.
These things.
They make candlesticks or no?
You know, they probably do. I wouldn't be surprised at all. So Zabar's is open 365 days a year. They have over 250 employees. They sell over 8,000 pounds of coffee a week.
A week?
A week. Very impressive.
Do you like their coffee?
It's actually one of the largest supermarkets in Manhattan. I mean, but I have to be honest with you. I love coffee. I'm not a coffee snob. The only coffee that tastes different to me than any other coffee is Starbucks tastes different to me. In like not a good way.
Yeah.
But like Folgers tastes good to me. Like I'm just not that guy. I like a high-end coffee, but I don't. So in other words, you ask me if Zabar's coffee, if I think it's good, I do think it's good, but I also think like Stumptown is good. And I also think that McCafe is good and Dunkin' is good. So
I got your number, Hussie.
That's what you're dealing with. Do you not think it's good?
I don't like really dark coffee, and I don't like really light coffee. I'm in this weird zone of like, it's got to be perfectly medium dark.
Well, they sell like 45 blends. So I'm sure
there's one I always get in the bag, in the basket, where I'm like, it's like their basic bitch one. Not that it's a basic bitch, but there's one that they send to people who I think.
That's like probably their classic.
Their classic.
Their own, or their own
blend. Don't enjoy.
Right, fair enough.
Exactly. But if I could find their, I bet they have a great medium dark that I would love.
I'm sure they do, because it's like a crazy, the coffee's in huge bulk things. They are roasting it there. They grind it.
And I bet you, it smells, you have like so good inside.
12 different options for grind, for kinds of grinds.
I don't want to disparage their coffee. I just know the ones that I have been sent in gift baskets, not my fave.
Well, here's what I want to say. The first thing I did was I actually went to the cafe because I was hungry for lunch. So the cafe is attached to Zabar's, the grocery store. It's just has like, it's like counter service. It has a few bakery items and sandwiches made to order and soups and stuff, but it's all outdoor seating. Like, you can't sit inside. It's like a, feels like, yeah, a small cafe with like the best of Zabar's in there. So at the cafe, I got the Zabar's classic Nova bagel sandwich, which essentially is their world famous Nova Lox, onions, capers, tomato with a bagel and cream cheese. Obviously, you can customize that however you want.
No, but that's the way to do it. I'm sorry, don't customize it. Yeah, that is the perfect way to do it.
Couldn't agree more. I have to say, I'll post a picture of this bagel with salmon if you want. I have to say, in terms of any lox and bagel situation I've ever had, it had the most salmon in a bagel than any I've ever had. They did not, they were not, you know, giving you the runaround there. Exactly. Like, the stuff that was expensive was in there and in there good. You know what I mean? People love this bagel sandwich. I got to be honest with you. And this is maybe like a sin going to Zabar's and saying this. Bagels are delicious. They put me to sleep. I really can't eat them very much because it's just like gut bomb. So I got an everything bagel. They lightly toast on the outside. It's very chewy on the inside. So was it my favorite bagel I ever had? It actually wasn't. It wasn't enough of a good bagel for me to eat it. So I ended up just like having the amount of bagel and making like an extra, like one a giant half sandwich versus like eating both sides. And that truly wasn't even for dietary things. It was just sort of like, I don't want to eat this entire dense bagel when it's not the best bagel I've ever had.
I'm going to tell you something. Even the best bagel I've ever had, if we're talking a full bagel, so two halves,
sure,
I like a quarter.
Yeah, it's just too much. It's just too much. And like, also I had to go about my day. I had grocery stores to hit. And also what's great though about this cafe, you can eat right there, or you're like two blocks from the park and you can just eat right in Central Park. Like, no big whoop. Like, no big whoop.
So, what a dream day. A bagel in Central Park. Totally. Forget it.
I also got the matzo ball soup. I expected more chicken in it, but it was delicious. The matzo was so soft and tender. It was really delicious. Also, I got their black and white cookie. I got the chocolate arugula.
That black and white cookie?
Oh my God, forget it. They do have the best black and white cookies, as far as I'm concerned.
I'm sorry. Nobody should even try.
No one should even try.
Give up.
Because sometimes people like them to be more like cake, and sometimes people like them to be a little bit crispier. This served every purpose for me. It was the best one.
I dream about that cookie.
And I got to say—
And that soft ass icing?
Forget it. And I got to say this too. With this matzo ball came a roll, like just like a crusty hero roll, basically basic bitch white bread roll. It is, to date, the best plain roll I've ever had in my life.
You know, because sometimes that's an afterthought for a lot of people.
Oh, of course.
Just give them this shit.
And by the way, each of those things, like those rolls are like, what, 49 cents a piece? So hard and crusty on the outside and light as a feather on the inside.
How do they do it?
I don't know how they do it. I don't know how she does it. But I got to tell you this. This is because Eli Zabar is famous for his bread. And so this was really the first time I had it outside from the bagel. It was just like the plainest bread he makes. Unbelievable.
Let me tell you something. And this is a real testament to bread makers who come from other places.
Yeah.
You have to adapt everything. Baking bread is such a sensitive chemistry. Like, for example, you know, I'm at 7,000 elevation. You can't be a great baker in, I don't know, Miami and come here and be a great baker.
Right.
You have to change everything. Yeah. And so imagine coming from Russia or the Ukraine. And then that's totally different water. That's totally different wheat. That's totally different everything. And then coming here and succeeding in an entirely different like ecosystem and water system and all that stuff. I mean, that's a real challenge and he pulled it off.
Well, by the way, that is what makes New York bagels and pizzas so famous is the water.
That dirty ass water. That's right.
It's which is actually like the cleanest water. It's filtered more than most waters.
It is.
Like, New York City is one of those places where you absolutely should drink from the tap.
Well, the only issue is if you've got old pipes in your place.
Sure.
Because then you get into, like, if you're working in a real, like, lead pipe kind of situation.
Sure,
there's like,
sure.
You know, it's crust and McGusted.
Yeah.
You know? But I'm telling you, what's LA, 86th in the nation or something as far as safe water?
I have no idea. I don't
care. It's very low. It's like... Okay. Way down on the list.
Got it. But I will say, even pizza places in LA and around the country import their water from New York to make their pizza, which is wild. That seems completely wasteful to me. But and usually those are establishments that were started by New Yorkers who were like, no, just it's different. The water here is different. It doesn't make for the dough to be as good or as tender or whatever it is you're looking for. It's very interesting.
There's a magic to it. I mean, if you think about it, like Brian, you grew up in El Paso. The water in that part of Texas and the panhandle is very full of fluoride. And
right.
It's like a lore there that it does different. Like they're like, that's why Texans have such good teeth. And I'm like, is that a thing that we're known for?
I never knew we were known for that. Okay, so I ate my stuff at the cafe and then went right next door to the store. I gotta say, they've got one of the best fucking logos in the business because they just haven't changed it. It's like it looks like the 1970s. That bright orange and brown along with some blue, and it just says Zabar's in like letters from like, I don't know, the original
20s?
Production of like Pippin. Yeah, exactly. Just like
the
70s
first font
Godspell
ever invented.
Yeah. Kind of stuff. Yeah, exactly. It just looks like Godspell. The baskets are so beautiful, bright orange, bright blue. You see them immediately right under the sign. And I got to say, the carts were fascinating because, you know, New York doesn't have a lot of real estate to it. These grocery stores, Zabar's is one of the largest in the city, but it's still tiny. And because it's two floors, the whole bit. But their grocery carts are so strange. So it's just a flat thing on the top and a flat thing on the bottom. And you put one hand basket on top of the top flat thing and one hand basket on top of the bottom flat thing.
Do they snap in?
Sort of. And then you just wheel that around. But they don't have like a grocery cart like you would expect. It's like two pallets for one hand basket on top of another.
I guess it's utilitarian, not a word. Just because they can just do baskets and then baskets plus.
Honestly, I did talk to one of the Zabar's who were there and I said, really, the store should be called Baskets Plus because this is ridiculous. So that was very strange from the jump. Okay, Aaron, they're also known for their cheeses. An absolutely enormous cheesemonger section. You have to take a number for it. Feel free to ask for a sample. They're happy to give it to you. That would be your jam. That's not necessarily my jam, but that would be your jam. My jam was around the corner because this is also why I love this fucking city.
When are you moving there?
I'm ready. I'm ready.
Because why do you have to be in LA? Why do you have to be there?
I don't, but here's the problem. Here's the rub. I would have to rent out my place. I don't want to.
Why?
Because when I fly back in to shoot, usually I'm here for 3 or 4 days and I like don't want to like, it just isn't. Doesn't make sense for me to like stay in a hotel for those 4 days. And I don't want to
stay with Stephanie.
I know, but then that's like a whole, you know what I mean? Then I have to worry about my, appointments. And
so how many days of gear do you shoot?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it depends on the project. But
you'd rather live in LA. Okay. So let me just get this straight. You'd rather not live in New York, a city you love and are very happy in, and then fly to LA once every 6 weeks for a week or something.
But that's not true. It's like literally once a week.
Okay. Well, then that's different.
Yeah.
That's different.
That's what I mean.
You can't do it.
No. So my jam came when I turned away from the cheese, which looked glorious and beautiful, and went to my container.
But you turned your back on it.
I turned my back on it. I said, ha! And I went to my containers of my sweets. And this is what I mean. This is where the container store, the only time it grabs me, even though they don't sell what was in these containers.
Bulk?
Yes, but packaged bulk, which I like better.
Beautiful. I think it looks beautiful.
Me too. When it's already in the container, in like the plastic, like peel-off top container, but not peel-off, snap-off top, you know what I mean? And these had every fucking snack I dream of and every snack I go to a deli for when I'm there and take back to my room. Containers of dark chocolate pretzels right from Zabar's. Containers of dark chocolate covered lemon peels. Containers of dark chocolate covered graham crackers. Dark chocolate covered marshmallows. Milk chocolate covered marshmallows. My number one favorite.
How do you do a marshmallow milk chocolate without melting the inside?
Any idea? I don't know. Talk to 80th and Broadway. You know what I mean?
Operator, connect me to 80th and Broadway.
Operator, connect me to 80th and Broadway. Graham cracker jellies, which are my favorite fucking things in the world.
What?
Which are those like
what is it?
Jelly covered. They have them in delis that you can just walk in and get them. It's just like chocolate
like gummy covered bears?
Gummy jelly, but usually like raspberry jelly with like a thin graham cracker layer. I got to tell you, if you're a texture person, which I am, that's why I sometimes drink, you know, rocks, like actual rocks with my whiskey, because I like the texture.
Small little pebbles. Yeah, exactly.
Right. Or I'll put like corn nuts and marshmallows.
You're the only person who goes to a bar and says, I'll have whiskey neat on the pebbles.
Exactly.
And you're the only person who goes to a campfire and says, whatever you just said about.
Stick those corn nuts in those marshmallows and heat them up, baby, because I need some texture in my fucking mouth. Those are my favorite things in the world. The graham cracker jellies. You cannot find them here or anywhere. I should just start ordering them online, but the problem is I'll eat them nonstop. And also my other favorite candy, the cartons of nonpareils, which you can't get here.
What are those?
Nonpareil. Oh, sorry. Maybe this will help. Nonpareil? Nonpareil?
Absolutely not.
They're the chocolate discs covered in like sprinkles white? Or whatever.
Those things. Yes.
Exactly.
Yes,
those
yes.
White things. Mm. Whatever you call those, like sugar dots.
I don't even
sugar
have
balls?
A dumb name for them.
Right.
I don't even know the name. If you called them like sugar discs, I'd be like, still don't know.
Exactly.
But they're like mini Frisbees, is what you're saying.
Mini Frisb.
Right.
Mini Frisbees. Chocolate covered mini Frisbees. So then we get into the prepared foods. Okay. And this store has them in spades. Now I can't speak to all of them because I didn't try all of these things. I tried some of them, but gorgeous seafood paella, $18 a pound, which it sounds about right, actually, right?
Yeah, that sounds right.
For paella. I mean, that is expensive.
Two people, could I eat a pound of paella? I don't even know.
I don't either.
Conceptually understand it. Yeah.
Maybe that is expensive. I'm not sure. The time has come. Okay. It might be the dead of winter. Okay, January can be a very downer time because you've just had the holidays, you've had so much stress, and maybe you wanted some time off and it didn't actually come. Now, though, is the time to start planning an adventure on a glorious beach filled with glorious pride where you can make the most of it. Plan, and you can look for, you have something to look forward to. That's what we have to do in the winter. Who is planning a trip to Provincetown this year? Okay. If you've never been before, if it's your first time, if you go every year, it doesn't matter. You deserve to enjoy life. You can take pride in where you travel when you go there. And it's always an adventure there, truly. Provincetown is so welcoming to everyone. It embraces diversity. It's the place where cultural diversity has a place. It's something for everyone there. Glamour, dining, dancing, entertainment, hiking, biking, beaches. An absolute unique experience where everyone is welcome. Not to mention, it's absolutely gorgeous. It really is. You can see all kinds of comedy shows, go to great dinners, bike, do everything. Plus, it's queer. Okay? It is LGBTQ+++. So go be yourself this summer. Plan something fabulous for yourself. There's fun theme weeks every week for everyone who's LGBTQ+, like Pride, Girl Splash, Bear Week, Family Week, Carnival, Trans Week, the whole thing. So go to ptowntourism.com
the official guide to Provincetown, ptowntourism.com.
This is where I don't know the
price. But you didn't have to make it. By the way, talk about stuff you can't do in New York. Do you know how big a paella pan is?
Huge.
It's the size of a thing that you go down the hill in during Christmas winter.
A sled.
Yeah.
A trash can sled. The top of a trash can too, yeah?
It's an Oscar the Grouch hat. Yes,
complete exactly. Oscar the Grouch fascinator. No doubt about it. That's what he would have worn to the royal wedding.
That as a hat? Why have they not done that on Sesame Street?
So cute. They had a seafood Siciliano salad that $20 a pound. It was so beautiful, you can't stand it. It had that
seafood salad?
Yes. But it was just with that oil, you know, and it wasn't no mayo or anything like that. It was just
glistening.
Beautiful. Yeah. And looked like healthy, healthy, healthy and seasoned perfectly. They also have a very large selection of Eastern European food, or as people on Yelp call it, Jewish food. A lot of that. But so stuff like simis, they had a meat simis, which these are all, and by the way, I was also there around the high holidays. It was right around Rosh Hashanah. So this stuff was also being heavily featured. Beef stuffed cabbage, gorgeous potato latkes that were brown and golden and chunky, cauliflower latkes that were also brown and chunky and golden and looked gorgeous. Kasha varnishkes, which is God, how can I describe it? It's like a bow tie pasta with a barley situation. German bratwurst. They had a beef bourguignon pot pie that looked absolutely beautiful.
Whoa.
Eggplant parmesan. Everything. Huge soup. They also had a gefilte fish log, which I've never seen, but which you can get there.
So it's like fish and mayonnaise rolled up?
I don't know what was in it. It was hard to tell because the carton was foggy.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Do you know what I mean? So it's like a cold, I guess so. I've had gefilte fish before. I'm going to say it's not my favorite, but if you are into cooking from the old world, there you go. That would be a dish that you wouldn't have to cook. You could just buy, because I think it's pretty difficult to make. Huge soup selection, everything from lobster bisque, salmon chowder, butternut squash, beef and barley soup, a green split pea.
Where do they make all this stuff?
Great question. I don't know where their kitchen is. I assume some of it's on site and some of it must be in Brooklyn or something in some warehouse. Because a lot of those places
make all that. That's so much stuff.
A lot of these places have kitchens in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have to keep seafood separated from all the other stuff.
Sure.
There's all those rules.
I got to tell you, the chicken noodle soup they had there was the most beautiful chicken noodle soup I've ever seen. A deeply golden broth, chicken broth.
I'm telling you, chicken broth is tough to get right.
It is tough. Deeply golden with noodles. It had spaghetti noodles in them that seemed al dente. You could tell even from them being in the container how perfect that broth is. And it might be the one that Ina Garten uses that's from her cookbook, which, by the way, is a ridiculous recipe and you should never make it because it's so delicious, but it sets you back $65.
Why?
It's not worth it.
Do you have to
She makes a huge portion of it and then freezes what she doesn't use. But she uses three whole chickens in it. And it's delicious, but it's so expensive to make.
How can you even cook three whole chickens?
Exactly. That's what I mean. She's cooking it the entertaining thing for Martha Stewart. It's the same.
Yeah.
Idea.
Oh, ridiculous.
But I will say this looked like the Ina Garten recipe. And she does borrow recipes from people she admires openly. So this might have been from this place. So then you have every kind of bakery stand imaginable. So there's an entire section for the breads. There's an entire section for knishes and strudels, fresh made spinach knish, potato knish, sweet potato knish, fresh made cherry cheese strudels, apricot cheese strudels, chocolate chip strudels, you know, and those are not expensive things. So that was $1 each or $3 each. Also huge section of prepared pierogies and blintzes, potato and spinach pierogies, cherry blintzes, apple blintzes, cheese blintzes, sauerkraut pierogies, every kind of prepared salmon you could ever think of. Poached salmon, gravlax, grilled salmon, dill salmon, Dijon salmon fillets, Zabar's own Novi smoked salmon. They even had smoked salmon snacks, which is sort of jumping on this bandwagon of protein snacks, where they just had smoked salmon cut into little cubes that you could just pop in your mouth throughout the day. But here's what I have to say. I have had a smoked salmon snack.
Also had a sack too.
And a sack. A movie theater in New York, I saw Far From Heaven at Lincoln Center. And I got to tell you, people around me did not appreciate it. That's what I'll say.
It's not an indoor snack. It's an outdoor snack.
It's not cool to be chewing on something juicy and fishy in the middle of a movie.
Especially that one.
Especially that one, which is a very serious movie. All the Fresh Break breads, you can have at his restaurant EAT. And also, obviously, if you get a sandwich, they're perfect. It's honestly perfect bread. Health loaves, rye breads, whole grain, fresh ciabatta, Parker House rolls, potato onion dill rolls, every kind of muffin you can imagine. And again, the huge bulk coffee section, Kona coffee, Colombian, mocha, Blue Mountain style, cappuccino fudge.
Huh?
Every kind of coffee you could imagine.
It's a flavor called cappuccino fudge?
Yeah, that to me seems very like 90s.
So it's roasted with milk and fudge?
I guess. Uh-huh. A million different kinds of grinds you can choose from Turkish style, slightly coarser Turkish, espresso, cone filter, between fine and medium, between coarse and medium, coarse, very coarse. They've thought of everything because I got to tell you, it's one of those cities where everyone knows how they want their coffee. Do you know what I mean?
You know, that I have to say, like, and it's also good if you're in a household with people who like different stuff to go in place and get the different grinds. Because Ale sometimes uses a stovetop coffee maker and you need a finer grind than a regular coffee maker. I finally just fucking said, I'm tired of this. I'm tired of going to 75 grocery stores because they don't all have the knobs.
Right.
And I just bought a Cuisinart that does a bunch of different grinds.
There you go.
But it's also, but that's a fucking hassle because there's so much static electricity here. It's like it goes, you know what I mean? Go to a place like this, like Zabar's, that can give you everything that you need.
Correct. And now I'm going to go into some things that I thought were disgusting.
Wow. What a left turn. I didn't even know this was coming.
Things I didn't like.
Okay.
Because they also sell stuff that's not necessarily from Zabar's. You know, just like a grocery section. But the grocery section is higher
underwhelming.
End.
Oh,
it's underwhelming and higher end both at the same time. It sells a lot of stuff you don't really care about. Like for me, I just get like the Trader Joe's of California olive oil. You know what I mean? Like it has those olive oils that range from like $10 to like $5,000. So like you do you. They had something called, this was truly the most disgusting thing I've ever heard of. And I don't even know. My reaction to it was so visceral that I wanted to throw up into my nose and then throw up again from that experience.
So hold your throw up in, but it only comes out of your nose.
Just listen to these four words. Mulled wine breath mints.
No.
Breath mints flavored like wine.
So you have a breath mint that makes your breath smell worse than it when it began.
Completely.
What is the, it's candy. Let's just be honest. It's not a breath mint.
It's not a breath mint. And by the way,
why?
I hope it stains your teeth. Mulled wine breath mints. I thought I was honestly, it nearly ruined the entire experience for me because all I could think was like,
first of all,
my drunk parents' friends talking too close to you.
Mulled wine is like a straight up like damaged boomer drink.
Completely.
And then to put a mint on top. Was it selling like gangbusters?
I couldn't really tell because it honestly was like being slapped in the face with a fish.
Can you imagine you sit a chair down in that aisle and you wait and someone comes up and goes for it and you go, what are you doing? Can you explain your motivation to me, please? Because
honestly,
I need
it made
to
me
want to
be like, are any of the Zabar's here? Because like I have to have a sit down conversation about how you I've just been wrecked. You know, mulled wine breath mints.
It's truly an assault on my taste buds.
Yeah. Like, why not just have like, I don't even know, stuffing breath mints. You know what I mean? It's so absurd to me. Or like
fish breath mints.
Yeah. I'm Middle Eastern. Tabbouleh breath mints. You know what I mean? Like, no.
Tabbouleh at least has parsley and
onion, like Aaron. Exactly. And a ton of onion. No, listen, tabbouleh is the most delicious thing in the world if it's done right. It's not a breath mint. Do you know what I mean? I feel the same about mulled wine. Another thing I didn't like is there were hospital TVs everywhere. And by that, I mean, there were TVs up high in the corners as if you were in a hospital bed. In a really, what I'm calling WandaVision, I've never seen WandaVision, but to me it's WandaVision. It felt like a weird Big Brother, like the picture wasn't clear and it felt really public access. And it was just like the Zabars talking about bread, but it was the worst quality video I've ever seen. And it felt
all
like you
connect,
were being...
Were they all on the same loops?
All over the place, all in the same loops. And it felt like you were being followed. I really hated it. I didn't like that choice. It's like, guys, we know we're in Zabars. And you want to know how we know we're in Zabars? Because every fucking minute, there are Zabar's spices, Zabar's coffees, Zabar's K-cups, Zabar's deli mustard, Zabar's mugs, Zabar's aprons, Zabar's potholders, Zabar's tote bags, Zabar's kitchen towels, Zabar's hats, Zabar's grocery wheelers, Zabar's t-shirts, Zabar's gift bags, Zabar's magic slice for Nova salmon, which was like a knife, Zabar's calendars. It was full Do the 99 vibes. I gotta be honest with you, it was a little much. The branding was a little much at the end of the day.
It's also, it feels very 80s, like corporate grab, you know.
Exactly.
Never forget.
By the way.
Eyes wide shut, whatever.
Why would the fuck would you ever get a Zabar's gift bag if you weren't giving someone something from Zabar's? Do you know what I mean?
What are you saying? Like wrapping a present in the bag, but the present's from Costco?
Exactly. Might be a good way to trick somebody, though.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
Happy birthday. Just kidding. It's ice skates.
This is a Pepperidge Farm 50-pound sausage roll that I got at Zabar's, miraculously. But I will say, Aaron, in terms of their gift sets, those are also on point. They're beautifully done. And they have, if you go on their website, they have different... kind of sets you can give them. There's a real rivalry between the Russ and Daughters smoked salmon and the Zabar's smoked salmon. I think the Russ and Daughters is a little bit brinier and a little bit saltier than Zabar's, but they're both delicious. But the Russ and Daughters is the same idea for these gift baskets. But Zabar's does them too, and they're beautiful. And it's a real like New York institutional, but also if you're not from there, an in the know thing. So it's one of those things that like everyone knows about, but also like you're not sending them a picture of like, you know, the Empire State Building, you know? Or whatever.
Yeah.
One
Statue
other,
of Liberty.
Two other scandals that Zabar's has been involved with. One, it was discovered about 10 years ago that their lobster salad had no lobster in it. It was just like straight up whitefish that they were selling for like $14.99 a pound.
This is like asparagus water shit at Whole Foods, right?
Exactly.
Remember that?
Except when they were selling asparagus water, of course. Which was just an asparagus spear in water.
It was like $7.
Yeah. So they...
Also, first of all, who the fuck wants to drink that?
Nobody. That sounds disgusting. Like, your pee already suffers when you have asparagus.
Yeah, now
why
you're
drinking it. Why have
it
given faster access? That's if, like, you need your urine to stink fast. Drink asparagus water. So fucking gross. And the other scandal they were involved in, which wasn't so much a scandal as much as it was, like, in their display window at the grocery store a few years ago, just a rat hanging out, loving it. Posing for pictures, doing whatever it needed to do. The Zabar's rat became very famous. You know, I think that probably they've doubled down on all efforts when it comes to that. But also at the end of the day, it is New York. And
that's the fucking rats live there.
Rats live there. More rats are there than people. So it probably does happen every now and then.
If you don't want any rats, get rid of the people.
But actually, I'm so sorry. The rat was not at Zabar's. It was at Eat, which is the Upper East Side restaurant and market. So technically, it wasn't at Zabar's. It was in a Zabar's property. I should be clear about that. But that rat was still having the time of its life. I mean, you've never really seen a rat enjoy life more ever since the IKEA monkey who put his own jacket on.
Well, don't forget about Pizza Rat.
And Pizza Rat.
Yeah.
You're right. There are a few really high-end rats out there with champagne tastes.
If we can't share the world with rats.
Yeah.
What are we doing?
One other cool thing that Zabar's has done, and I think it's debatable of whether this was a good thing or a bad thing. So there is a famous Banksy of a little boy on an Upper West Side building with a hammer, like posed over a real fire hydrant kind of thing. Do you know what I mean? But the artwork is actually like the shadow of the boy with the hammer, but the fire hydrant thing is real. So he's like kind of busted open. And after Banksy did that, there were a couple of people who had like graffitied over it. And so Zabar's took a bunch of their plexiglass from their cafe and covered it. so that that wouldn't happen anymore. And so now that is that artwork is protected by Zabar's. But then just so that no one can graffiti over it because they were just loved it so much. Except that now there's a thing that says like this piece is protected by Zabar's above it. Like their branding knows no ends. So that's kind of annoying. And also I think part of maybe what Banksy does is to not have his work protected. I think like, I don't know. I think that's debatable too. Maybe I went to a Banksy exhibit while I was there actually. And like, you know, some of his stuff, he did, he's done some cool stuff where like he did a piece of art on the side of an orphanage that he really believed in that was losing money fast and was like going to go broke and what was going to happen to these kids. So he like, I think left instructions for them to like tear down the art piece, put it inside and charge people to see it so they could save their building. And they did. And it worked. But I don't know. I sort of feel weird that Zabar's name is now on this thing. And I don't know that that was necessarily the
point. It feels like a baseball game.
Right, exactly.
You know what I mean? Like where you're yes. like watching baseball and then you're like, oh, I guess all states involved in this.
So it's definitely cool that they're protecting it, but it's also like, why make it like a marketing thing except that it's good
also,
press,
do we need so many pats on the back? Right. Prince died having given millions of dollars to people and never said one fucking word about it.
There you
That's
go.
Cool.
There you go.
You know
so
what I mean?
I highly
Just
recommend going there.
Just put the plexiglass up.
It is absolutely worth the experience. It is absolutely worth trying everything you can there and then taking it to the park, especially if you're a visitor. Like, I know you're like, why would I go grocery shopping if I'm just visiting New York for a few days? But this is different.
It's the best way to know a city.
It is. And you can actually get actual food that you don't have to cook there and then take it to the park with you if you want. So
also, by the way, when you're going to New York City, which is super fucking expensive, just pop into a restaurant.
Yeah.
It's actually, I know you named some of the prices, but like getting a bagel that you're going to maybe split up for breakfast or breakfast and lunch or something like that. And then you can walk around the city and do whatever really frees you up. The thing I always get upset about when I go to New York is the time it takes for me to eat stuff. I want to be doing things.
I have to be honest with you. Fine dining is not part of my New York experience. And I know that is a city for it, for sure. And so if that gets you off, that's a place to be. I'm with you. I like to dine and dash. You know what I mean?
That's not what that city's about. It's about like going to the next thing and then exploring something else and having the time to do that.
Because by the way, the quick meals there are fucking delicious too.
They're great.
Yeah.
That's the whole point of that city.
Exactly. So
it's called a New York minute. You know what I mean?
Totally. I give Zabar's.
It's actually 30 seconds.
I love that. I give Zabar's, and it's so on the nose, but I give it a 10 out of 10, except for I'll knock off a little bit for the fucking branding of it all. Like, it is annoying after a while to be like, we fucking get it, Zabar's.
But it's also like a little bit like, y'all make great stuff. You don't need to do
you
this.
You don't need all of this. But the logo's cool as hell. So also, like, I get it. But also half a point for the mulled wine mints. That real misstep there. Real misstep.
So we're at what, 9.5?
We're at 9.5.
That's not bad. That's really good.
No.
For this show?
Yeah, you're right.
Well, another episode, Wine and Dined.
Done.
Please send us your questions at Groceries Pod.
I think it's Groceries Podcast.
It is. Oh boy, here we go.
Oh God, let's see. It is Groceries Podcast at gmail.com.
Okay, great.
Yep.
Sorry, Sam, will you mark that? Send us your questions at groceriespodcast.com. Let us
groceriespodcast@gmail.com.
Oh, what the fuck? It's like I've never heard of an email.
I know. Erin just got on Gmail. She loves it.
I don't know. The internet's very confusing to me. Groceriespodcast@gmail.com.
You can send us product reviews. You can send us tips. You can send us
an anecdote
about your grocery store. Anything.
Please send us back at the boxes.
Definitely.
Those are gold to us. Yeah, I just want to say.
Golden tickets.
And in the meantime,
see you in the aisles.